worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shipra and Puah. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. "Why have you done this?" he demanded. "Why have you allowed the boys to live?" "The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women," the midwives replied. "They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time." So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: "Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live." In Exodus chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. About this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother. "I will pay you for your help." So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." Portions of Exodus chapter 1 and Exodus 2, verses 1 to 10. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power and the wisdom in your word. Thank you, Lord, for the grace and the mercy you demonstrate in your word. Lord, thank you for the powerful legacy in the life of Moses, one of your great servants from the Old Testament. And thank you, Lord, for how that your hand and your mercy orchestrated so many things wonderfully to both preserve his life and to raise him up to be the leader of your people that you called him to be. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you continue to call believers to be leaders, to be obedient servants who are available for you to use to build your kingdom and accomplish your purposes, to spread the gospel, to do the work of making disciples, and to stand for life in it and help to end the tragedy of abortion. Stir us more and more to be the church that is boldly and faithfully following you as your spirit directs us to carry out the work of ending the tragedy of abortion in our world. Thank you for the chance to be vessels in your hands to carry out your wonderful work. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Hey, Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, we ask that you'd speak today. We ask that you'd open our hearts, our minds, our ears, that we'd be responsive to your word, that we'd see your truth, that we'd hear the stories of all the women that have suffered from the hands of abortion. Father, I ask that we'd stand for life, that we'd pursue provision and tending to those in need, just as you have tended to us. Thank you, Father, for thank you so much, Father, for tending to us first. And we depend on you and your truth. We really do. We need your truth. And so, Father, I ask that you would teach us and that you'd call us to repentance and to love. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, thank you again for the opportunity for us to look to your word for guidance, for direction, for clarity to help us understand what's right, what's wrong, what honors you and what doesn't honor you. Father, in a world and in a culture that is so filled with deception and lies and misleadings, help us to know, Lord, that your word is a completely reliable guide and tool for counsel to help us to know your will and to discern your will. We thank you and we praise you for the wonderful gift of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Looking in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I call my son out of Egypt." Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah. Weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are dead. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Get up," the angel said. "Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead." So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he heard that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophet had said. He will be called a Nazarene. All of Matthew chapter 2. Again, both the passage we read earlier has some pretty significant similarities and connections. Both of them demonstrate God's grace at work, even in the midst of a very dark and difficult situation. In both passages, we find the first one, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, wickedly ordered the killing of baby boys. And of course, sadly, it's sad to think that rulers would do that. But sadly, It didn't just happen a long time ago. It's happening today. Rulers that still think killing babies is okay and are very supportive of it. How important it is that we as believers clearly know the will of God, discern His will, and carry that will out. One of the Ten Commandments tells us, you shall not murder. That's very, very clear. So Pharaoh was wrong, but thank the Lord for people like Shiprah and Puah, women who courageously stood up for what was right. They knew the will of God was for them to let those babies live, and that's what they did. And just like Shiprah and Puah, God is calling believers to stand up today as well. In the story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at His birth, again, we see again the devil trying to kill babies. And what a tragedy that once again, a governmental ruler is very much behind it and is the cause behind it. How important it is for us as the church to stand up and be the church in the midst of a culture that disregards life. Father, thank you, Lord, for the church. Thank you for the opportunity for us to be your hands and feet in a world that needs to know the truth, a world that is so steeped in darkness that it thinks killing babies is okay. Help us to discern your will and help us to be committed to passionately stand for life and helped end the tragedy of abortion, and help us to be wise enough to educate ourselves about the issues and go forth to be your vessels, seeking you in prayer exactly what you'd have us to do and doing just that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We are blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today, Kelsey Pritchard. She's with the ministry, the Susan B. Anthony List. Kelsey, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you, Pastor?
Doing very good. Very good. Thank you for taking the time to be with us. And Kelsey, I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment to further introduce yourself and introduce our listeners, many of which have probably heard the name of the Susan B. Anthony List, but then there are many who may not have. So if you'll further introduce yourself and tell our listeners about who and what the mission of the Susan B. Anthony List would be.
Yeah, well, my name is Kelsey Pritchard, and I am the State Public Affairs Director at Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America, and I'm a part of a state affairs team that tries to save as many lives as we can, as fast as we possibly can, in the states, under states' policies and state politics. And Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America, we are named after the famous suffragette, famous feminist who fought for women and their right to vote. And in that model, we today exist to fight for women and fight for unborn children. And our mission is to end abortion and the destruction of human life. And we do that really with an eye toward politics. And we often refer to ourselves as the leading political pro-life group in the nation. We have a massive field team that deploys throughout the country when we have elections, whether it's the presidential election or state elections or ballot measure fights, and we go door to door to talk to people and to encourage them to stand for life and to show up to vote in those critical elections. And so I'm just really grateful to be here with you today, Pastor Joseph Parker, and grateful for the light that you are shining on the issue of life and calling people to not be passive and to listen to God's will in how we fight for life and for women in this country.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being with us. Now, am I correct? The correct name for the overall organization / ministry is the Susan B. Anthony List Pro-Life America. Is that correct?
Yeah, we used to be called the Susan B. Anthony List. We are now Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America.
Okay. All right, we're going to pick up right there on the other side. Again, our phone guest today is Kelsey Pritchard of the Susan B. Anthony List Pro-Life America. We'll be right back.
Our Father, which art in heaven, yeah, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven.
Music from the Walls Group with The Prayer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, our phone guest today is Kelsey Pritchard of Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America, and she is the State Public Affairs Director. And Kelsey, you were going to share with us about a recent Supreme Court hearing that was a very important one in relation to the cause of standing for life and against abortion. Would you dive right in and share with our listeners? But I tell you, before we do that, would you pray for our listeners to have ears to hear what the Lord would have them hear today? And then, if you'll immediately following that, dive right into talking about that hearing.
Yeah, absolutely. God, thank you for this time, and thank you for every person who is listening today. I pray that you would guide this conversation, that you would instruct our words, that you would move our hearts, and that you would show us how to be your hands and feet in this movement, and how also to be grace-filled on the issue of life, Lord. And I thank you for Pastor Joseph Parker. I thank you for every person in leadership in a church who is willing to speak to the issue of life, and I pray for more of those people and more pastors and more leaders to give their voice to the voiceless. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, so diving into the Supreme Court hearing that happened last week, they heard oral arguments on the AHM case that has to do with abortion drugs. So, some people might not be aware that abortions are primarily done by abortion drugs. Now, it's not the majority of surgical abortions. It's this drug that women take, two drugs. One of them is called mifepristone. It essentially starves the baby of the nutrients that they need to survive, and it kills the baby. And then misoprostol is the second drug that is taken, and that drug causes the woman to then give birth to that dead baby. And so 60% of abortions are now done through this method, and the Biden administration has actually changed the rules so that people can get these pills in the mail and you don't even have to see a doctor. So it's mail order drugs, essentially. And, you know, we've heard stories of it's not even women who are ordering these pills. Sometimes it is abusive men who order the pills. There was a case in Texas where a man poisoned his wife with these pills, and she didn't know. And so that happens all the time, unfortunately. And so this Supreme Court case, it doesn't deal with whether those drugs are available in the market at all. It deals with, is this mail order, this ability to get the pills without ever seeing a doctor, is that legal? Should that be struck down? And so the Supreme Court heard oral arguments over this last week, and it's really a basic argument for protecting women and safety. And we would hope that even pro-choice people could agree with that. Unfortunately, we've seen the very opposite, and it's very just clear evidence of how the devil is working, and a reminder that our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, and that the ruler of the darkness, he is got a hold on this, and he is moving people to promote abortion at all costs and at the expense of women, and that he wants more abortions to happen. And so that's the Supreme Court case, and it's been an eye-opening thing of how dangerous these abortion drugs are to the women who take them. Of course, it always ends the life, or in almost all cases, ends the life of the baby. But women who take them, the FDA says that one in 25 of them end up in the ER because these drugs cause hemorrhaging, they cause the need for emergency surgery, they even cause death in some cases. So the FDA was really reckless in allowing these drugs to be put on the market to begin with, and they're causing a lot of pain and to women, and the trauma, of course, because they don't understand that it's not just an easy, quick fix. When you take one of these pills, you know, that's how it's branded to them. You give birth to your dead baby, and then you see that baby, and then you, for many of them, then they realize what they've actually done, and this was their baby, this was a life, and it's very traumatic for them as well.
Mm. Is this the same, basically the same drug as that used to be called RU486, or is this a different tool, or do you happen to know about that?
I am not entirely sure. To be honest with you, I didn't even know what the abortion drugs were until I started becoming really involved with the movement. And I think for some people, they don't know what these are, or they might even get them confused with contraception or morning after pill. And so there's a lack of awareness. Even there is a lack of awareness for a lot of us who have joined the movement recently. That's part of the challenge is explaining to people what these do.
Well, you know, Kelsey, I want to ask you this too specifically. As someone working with an organization, a ministry that is on the front lines of addressing these issues, what, from your perspective, what would you say the church desperately needs to do to get involved with really helping with this cause? What would be things you'd suggest the church, individual believers as well as the church as a whole, to do?
Yeah, I would say on a couple of fronts, pregnancy centers. Find your local pregnancy center if you don't know what it is already, and find how you can help, whether that's by giving money, whether that's by donating your time. These pregnancy centers are on the front lines of helping women who have unplanned pregnancies, and they make the difference in so many people choosing life and then helping them along the way, giving them that support they need, whether it's just the emotional support or it's actual financial support, helping them with housing, baby clothes, formula, whatever it is they need in those first few years as they raise their young children. Those pregnancy centers are perhaps the most crucial part of the pro-life movement, and supporting them, that's a really great way to be the hands and feet and to just let these women know that they're loved and that they can do this. They can raise their children and pursue their dreams as well. Mm-hmm. The second thing I would say is that we have a lot at stake this election. It's not only a presidential election year. You, of course, have state elections going on all over the place. We also have abortion that will likely be on the ballot in 7 pro-life states across the U.S. There are abortion ballot measures that essentially allow abortion up to birth. They also take away parental consent, and they eliminate health and safety protections for women. So they eliminate every regulation on the abortion industry. And so that is definitely going to be on the ballot in Florida. It will likely be on the ballot in South Dakota, Missouri, Nebraska, Montana, Arizona. I believe there's another state too as well. And so showing up and also explaining to people what these ballot measures do, and also being willing to go and vote this election day. We know that when we lost the ballot measure fight in Ohio, we lost too many Christians on that vote. We lost too many Catholics, evangelicals, Protestants that were duped into thinking that this was about women's health care, when essentially this is about allowing abortion at any point in time, first trimester, second trimester, third trimester. So don't do your own research. Don't be fooled by the ads that you see and by the millions of dollars the abortion industry is going to pour into these fights, and be willing to talk to your friends and especially your church leaders about standing against these dangerous abortion measures.
Mm. Kelsey, I want to ask, would you take time specifically to pray for the church to do just that, to really seriously and passionately get involved with this battle, knowing that the church is a crucial element in helping this to go in the direction it needs to go? Would you pray for the church in that regard?
Yeah. God, I pray for every person who is a believer and every person who is a part of the body, and that you would call us to action and show us how we can be the arms and the hands and feet, and that how you would like us to be involved to save more lives and to help more women in this country. I pray that we would not sit back and be passive and just watch things happen, but that we would be as engaged as possible, Lord, and that we would usher the end of this atrocity and this huge human rights violation of our time, God, that you would show us how to be a part of ending the suffering, and that we would not be afraid. We would not fear the culture. We would not fear the media. We would not fear the things the devil tries to throw at us. We would not fear being canceled. We would stand on your truth. We would stand on your grace, and that you would guide us and give us the strength and direction to show us what our role is in ending this tragedy and ending the unnecessary death of millions of your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, too, thank you for the church. Thank you for pastors and people in leadership in the church who are in such a pivotal place to be able to make a difference. Lord, raise up more and more bold pastors and leaders in the church to speak truth without compromise, to speak truth in such a way that people can practically better understand what your will is, what's right, what's wrong, and what honors you. Lord, we live in a world where there's so much deception out there, so many ways in which the kingdom of darkness seeks to mislead people so that they don't know and they don't perceive what's right or what's wrong, or they don't know the difference. Lord, stir us to be the church that is, again, your hands and feet and is your mouthpiece to speak light to the world that needs to hear and receive that light. And help us to know, Lord, that every individual believer makes a difference. Help us to be mindful, Lord, that we all can pray. Help us to pray faithfully for the Supreme Court. Father, we lift the Supreme Court up to you. More and more, move upon them to be righteous leaders who do what's righteous and what you've called them to do as leaders in our government. In Jesus' name, flood the Supreme Court with your mercy, light, grace, peace, and direction and counsel. More and more, help them to, again, be your vessels where you've placed them, in Jesus' name. And Father, Lord, help us to have the attitude of deciding that none of us will sit on the sidelines. Help us to be wise enough to get informed. To help us as churches to have workshops and seminars that help people learn about the ins and the outs of the life issue and what they can do. And just as Kelsey mentioned too, Lord, move upon every single listener to seek you and just to ask you the question, Lord, what do you want me to do? And help us to know, Lord, that there's so much one person can do. Many can take it upon themselves to say, I'm going to go and volunteer at my local pregnancy clinic. I'm going to help raise money to help them do what they're called to do. I'm going to help pray for them on a daily basis and praying for your will to be done. Father, more and more, raise up bold hands and feet in the church to be what you want them to be and to do what you want them to do, to help stand boldly for life. Raise up more and more shippers and puas, more and more Jacobins who will boldly do the right thing for your glory. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Kelsey, how would you encourage believers to pray specifically for the Supreme Court?
Yeah, pray for them over this case. There's also another case that's going to be before them. It's called the EMTALA case that the Biden administration is bringing. And essentially, what they're trying to do is they're trying to twist this law that exists into an abortion mandate to try to overturn pro-life state laws, so any state laws that protect babies from conception or at heartbeat. There are a couple of state laws that protect babies at 12 weeks. They are essentially trying to use this law, which has to do with hospital emergency rooms not being able to refuse treating patients in need, to justify the agenda for unlimited abortion. And so that it doesn't make a lot of sense on its surface. But essentially what they're saying is that women need an unlimited right to abortion in order to receive emergency care when they're pregnant. Now, that is a complete lie because every state that has a pro-life law has a life of the mother exception. Mm-hmm. It's also almost never necessary that a woman would need an abortion to save her life. You could do early delivery, perhaps. There are a lot of, you know, there are situations where a woman faces an emergency and you could try to early deliver the baby via C-section. But at the same time, the Biden administration is trying to use this lawsuit as a PR point to try to say that abortion is health care and that women are dying without the unlimited right to abortion. And so, you know, pray for the Supreme Court as they consider this EMTALA case. Pray for the Supreme Court as they consider AHM. They've got a lot on their plates and a lot to consider even after the Dobbs decision.
All right. Well, we'll pick up there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Kelsey Pritchard of the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America Ministry. We'll be right back. Music of Toby Mac with City on Our Knees. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Father, thank you again for your church, and thank you, Father, for us as a nation, Lord, and thank you for every believer that's a part of our listening family at this moment. Father, thank you for us all and your hand of grace upon us. Help us, Lord, as the church and as believers and as a nation to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Again, our phone guest today is Kelsey Pritchard. She's with the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. And Kelsey, if someone wants to get in touch with the ministry or get in touch with your office or maybe ask questions to find out more, how can they do that?
Yeah, go to our website. It's sbaprolife.org, and you can read news articles on our website. You can reach out to us, connect with us on social media, or you can feel free to send me a direct message on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Kelsey, K-E-L-S-E-Y underscore P-R-I-T-C-H.
All right. Okay, thank you. Kelsey, I want to ask if you'll just share your thoughts on this. My wife and I have the privilege of being a part of the Beyond the Board of a pregnancy ministry that serves here in the state of Mississippi. And in the last few days, was talking to two of the very precious young women who are part of our staff, and they shared about a particular client who came that basically seemed to be abortion-minded when she came. And they shared very specifically how that as they were doing the ultrasound, it really caught the mom off guard. And initially, she was, and even the workers were a little surprised that the baby, being as young as the baby was in her womb, they could see the baby very clearly. And the baby was so active and extremely young, but very, very active. And the mom said to them, "I thought I'd just see a blob," but had no idea she would see an active little baby in her womb. And by the end of the ultrasound, it seemed like the mom had decided, I've got to keep my baby. But then, sadly, apparently she got a phone call from her boyfriend before she left, and it seemed like she seemed to sort of changed her mind again. And that's a reminder of the warfare that's going on in the world. Sadly, I think she knew that the boyfriend had indicated he didn't want to support the baby. And what a tragedy it is. And it's a reminder that it's why, one more reason why the church needs to be praying for every young woman who finds herself expecting a baby in a difficult circumstance. Again, the warfare is very, very intense. She also shared of having other children and the economic hardship it might be. But as you mentioned, Kelsey, it's so important for the church to pray for pregnancy ministries. And I'm going to take time to do that right now. Father, thank you, Lord, for every pregnancy clinic in our nation and in the world. Thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of them. Father, flood every pregnancy ministry with mercy, grace, and favor and open doors. Father, more and more, stir the church to decide that I'm going to find my local pregnancy clinic. I'm going to call them up and say, what can we do? And stir them to begin to pray every day for the work and the ministry of these pregnancy clinics. Stir them to decide, I'm going to put them in our budget, and we're going to send volunteers, and we're going to check with them regularly to say, what can we do to help support the work and the mission you've been called to? Lord, help the church to know that there's so much we can do if we would but choose to do it. Help us to know, Lord, that every day is important. Every day makes a difference. Help us to not have a laid-back attitude towards supporting the work of not only pregnancy clinics, but ministries like Susan B. Anthony that is out there doing the work on the front lines. Help us to pray for these ministries and so many other great pro-life ministries that are doing the work of the Lord in a culture that is in so many ways against life. Help us to know, Lord, that again, there's no time for any of us to stay on the sidelines. There's so much work to be done. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Kelsey, I wanted to ask you, just in view of this, the scenario that actually happened that I just mentioned, what comes to your mind, you being a believer that's very much involved in this work on the level you're in? What comes to mind when you hear a story like that?
I'm reminded when I was in college and I started a Students for Life chapter at our school, and we had a prayer service for abortion, and there was a vote actually coming where in my state in South Dakota. And so we were bringing people together to pray, to talk about the issue of abortion, and to just bring more attention to it. And we invited a pastor who had been pretty bold in our community about life and talked about the need for us to rally together for the unborn. And we invited him to speak. And I expected to hear what I normally heard on the issue and, you know, talking about how we need to come together and save more lives. And he did touch on that. But a big part of his message was about the mercy and grace for women who are in a situation, who have an unexpected pregnancy, and also for women who have had abortion, and praying for their redemption, praying that they would come to know Jesus. And it sparked in me the realization of how grace-filled we need to be filled in this fight, and how we need to not look at the women who have had abortions as the enemy themselves, or as, you know, as people who need to be criminalized in any way, but as people who need grace and how we need to extend our hands to those who have an unexpected pregnancy and help them, because there's also recent research that came out from the Charlotte Lozier Institute, which is our research arm at Susan B. Anthony, and it shows that 60% of women who have had an abortion did so because they felt some sort of pressure, and that would be pressure from a boyfriend, from a parent, an employer. Some of them, it was an economic situation, pressure from that. And there's another study that Charlotte Lozier did that shows that 70% of women say that their abortion was inconsistent with their personal values, and they didn't want to have the abortion. And so, you know, that is heartbreaking. That's eye-opening for us, I think, in realizing what coercion and pressure, the role that plays in this decision that so many make to end their child's life. And, you know, combine that with all of the lies that we hear every single day, that this isn't a baby, it's just a clump of cells, it's a fetus, it's not a baby. Really a culture that celebrates abortion, not just that it's necessary sometimes, but yes, you should have an abortion. It's a good thing. You combine the lies with the pressure that women feel, and it's no wonder that a lot of them have chosen abortion. And so we have to continue to pray for them. We have to reach out to any person in our lives if we have any family members, friends who are facing an unexpected pregnancy, or perhaps, you know, have some sort of financial constraints, reach out to them and help them and do anything you can to support them so that they can be the mother that they've been called to be, but, you know, that a lot of them want to be as well, and to just show them our love and God's love as well.
Mm. Well, again, I really appreciate, Kelsey, you sharing your wisdom and your insight, just a number of the suggestions you've just shared. And it's our hope that every believer is really listening to what the Spirit of God is saying to them today, because, again, there are too many individuals that are on the sidelines. They're not involved. Father, again, more and more, help us to know, Lord, that one person can make a huge difference and be your instrument to help save thousands and sometimes millions of babies. Help us to never, ever think that we could not make a difference, because we serve you who are a big God, and you can use one person to set a thousand to flight in the kingdom of darkness. Help us to know, Lord, that every day is important, that we should never have a delayed, laid-back attitude. More and more, help us to know, Lord, that each day it makes all the difference in the world. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Kelsey, Amen. Would you share one more time, if someone wants to get in touch with you or Susan B. Anthony, tell them again how to do that.
Yeah, you can go to the website svaprolife.org, and you can look at all of our resources. You can contact us there, follow us on social media, or you can find me on X, and you can message me at Kelsey, K-E-L-S-E-Y, _PRITCH.
All right. And also, if someone wants to get involved in their own state, to be involved in the life issue from a political perspective, I guess, can they contact Susan B. Anthony to get assistance in doing that as well?
Absolutely. Go to our website, and you can fill out a contact form on our website. And you can also on our website go to the Her Plan website as well, and Her Plan can get you connected to a local pregnancy center in your community. And if you're wondering for who to reach out to there and how to get involved close to home.
All right. Well, Kelsey, again, thank you so much for being with us, and please keep up the great work you're doing where the Lord has called you, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Pastor Joseph Parker.
All right. And Father, thank you again for Kelsey. Thank you for all those that make up the ministry and the work of Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America. Father, anoint that ministry with a fresh and mighty anointing. Bless the ministry indeed. Expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. And Father, raise up more and more people that will be faithful intercessors, that will pray daily for the work that Kelsey and the rest of those that are part of the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America ministry to be about. We thank and praise you for their ongoing work and mission. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you're aware that you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, you've never asked Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior and save you, today is a wonderful day to make that decision, if you'd like to make that step and invite Christ into your life and be saved, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with me right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to seek you in prayer daily. Help me to obey you daily. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong and deep in your new walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please, again, get in touch with us. Again, joseph@afr.net. Hope that you'll do that. And again, thanks so much for listening in. Kelsey, thank you so much for being with us. And as we said, please do keep up the great work, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.